If you've been here this summer, what I am very, very concerned about in our country is that the Christians in our country sort of have it right, kind of have it right, almost have it right, which leads to confusion. Because you need to get things right. Not everything in the world. I mean, you can have various opinions on different things, but the basics in the Bible are the basics in the Bible. And you need to know what they are. And what happens is, through time, the basics get clouded, so we don't see them anymore, and we don't live according to them, and what happens is, our lives demonstrate that we don't know the basics. And the way that that happens normally is the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. The opposites of the fruits of the Spirit. For example, anger is not a fruit of the Spirit. Lonely, depression, I mean, that kind of stuff, not fruit of the Spirit. Anxiousness, not a fruit of the Spirit. You see, a lot of times, what's really going on in your heart, not what you're portraying, but what's really going on in your heart, tells you whether you've got the basics right or not. The basics are fundamental. There is a God. You're not Him. See, that's like level one. And then there's plans that God has, and that kind of thing. So, what we've been doing this summer, when I come in, and I'll do it today, and I believe again on Tuesday, is going through this confusion series. If you've missed it and you want to pick it up, just remember my name.podbean.com, and it's online. You can just go get them and get caught up. Today I want to talk about the confusion as to the meaning of peace. You know, when people say they want to keep the peace or they want peace, often they don't even know what they're saying. What is peace? No, is it a feeling? Is it no war? Is it you walk into a house and nobody's throwing dishes at each other? Is that what peace is? It's kind of interesting. The Bible says in Isaiah, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for they cannot be quiet. And its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says God, for the wicked. One of the characteristics of sin is there is no peace. That's one of the characteristics. And it's not surface peace we're talking about. He uses the water is an interesting thing to use as an illustration. It moves up here and its effects are everywhere down here. And it mixes up all this dirt. You could have, you know, you let that water and those waves come crashing in, they just take whatever and they just mix it all together. See, there are a bunch of lives that have all kinds of stuff mixed all together with their thought processes. And what they end up with is cloudy thought processes. There's something really cool about absolutely, excuse me, pure water. But that stuff that's all, you know, I like drinking tea, but real tea. And I have a cup with a little filter at the top of it, and I throw all kinds of grass or whatever tea is in there. And then you mix it up. And when you look at it, it looks like you're drinking a bottle of dirt water. It's not. It's intentional, but it's all mixed in there. And our lives are often all mixed in and kind of dirt water lives. On the opposite side, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. See, there's a contrast there. The wicked aren't going to have peace. They're not going to. Now, you might say, well, I'm not a wicked person. You really are. When you sin, that's wicked. So if you have sin in your life, that's the wicked side. And all of us sin. So when you're trying to find peace inside your heart, satisfaction in life, but you're living in sin, or you're living amongst sin, it's very difficult. Because the peace that you look for is the fruit of the Spirit, not peace that you can make. The idea of peace in the Bible, one of the words that's used is shalom. Shalom is one of my favorite terms. It's often translated peace, comes from the verb, there's the Hebrew letters up there as well, if you're really into that. The verb shalom means to restore. To restore what? In the sense of replacing, providing what is needed in order to make someone or something whole or complete. See, Here's the deal. None of you are going to be whole or complete without God and without intimacy with God. You are not going to. That's what you lack. You do not lack, you know, a new car. That's not going to give you peace. You do not lack a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. That's not what gives you peace. You were made to be a certain way, and sin keeps you from being that way. And since you were made to be a certain way, and sin keeps you from being that way, the fruit is that you're miserable, you can't find peace, but you keep trying to find it. And you keep trying to find it wherever you can look, wherever you think it's available, but it's not there. Because what you have to do is restore that relationship with God. Being married as long as I have, and I know that, you know, if Linda and I are at odds about something, you know, we don't have peace. And I will tell you that if Linda and I are not at peace, the only thing that matters to me is getting back to her and being at peace with her. See, I want to restore what we had. I want to restore the relationship. So mankind is born in sin, and they're not at peace with God. And if they restore that relationship, they get to be able to be at peace with God, and that begins the process. Those who ignore God have no chance of being at peace. There is no way. I mean, do you ever wonder why we as a culture struggle with, I mean, we have a lot of things, right? I mean, we as a culture have a tremendous amount of things. But yet we struggle with all kinds of stuff. I mean, we struggle with drugs. Why does somebody want to take what's out? You know, yesterday was a beautiful day. I mean, if you just enjoy summer days, yesterday was one of them. Just enjoy that day. And I'm thinking, why would I want to take like a drug to mask this? Why would I want to go get drunk and mask what this is? Because really, what's really great is I get to absorb what this is. And people without peace, they don't know that the answer is a restorative relationship with God. And so they're looking for it, and they need drugs, or they need alcohol, or they need sex, or they need a party, or they need... See, you got to have something, you think. And then that doesn't deliver. And then you just think you need more, and you need more, and you need more. When I was in college and I got voted the number one player at our division, whatever, state of Illinois, I remember going back to my room with a little plaque, which I can't even find today, by the way, but I know it's somewhere. And I went back with this little plaque and I showed it to my roommate, and he didn't play sports, but he was my best friend. I showed it to him and he goes, "Oh, that's nice. You want to go get something at the stoop?" Which was, you know, a shake or, yeah, I threw it on the bed and we went out and got something. I mean, that was it. That's nice. Oh, wait a minute. You understand. People live for this. Yeah, that's nice. Let's go get something to drink. Yeah, right. And now I can't even find a stupid plaque. You know, I mean, I realized something while we were walking. You know, there are guys that I played football with that live for that moment. Why? They think it's some way that they arrive somewhere and they go, finally, I'm at peace with the world. I mean, no, you're not. That's why I think it's really hard to repeat championships. And if you listen to sports analysts, they'll tell you how hard it is. It's really hard to repeat. It's really hard to repeat. Why? You take a team that's extremely talented, and they win one year, but the next year they struggle to come close. Why? I think when you get to the top, you realize it's not what it's cracked up to be. So you get there and you go, I struggled my whole life so I could, you know, kiss Lord Stanley's cup? I spent my whole life for this? Well, I better do it. I'm on camera. I better have tears of joy. Because after all, I lived for this. And then the next day comes and you got to get up and make breakfast. It's like, wait a minute. What's changed? Nothing. You got to kiss Lord Stanley's cup. With a camera on you. Oh yeah, that was great. Yeah. And I get a ring. I get to look forward to the ring. Half those guys can't find their rings many years later. You know what? Once you get to the top, you realize, I know none of you are big Neil Sedaka fans. You may not know who he is. He's an old singer, which none of you probably ever listened to. But he had this song that was very intriguing. It was called, I Miss the Hungry Years. And when he sang that song, it struck a chord. I don't know how old it is, probably 100 years old, but I'm not sure. But he's basically saying, you know what? There were these struggling years where I always looked towards being at the top. And everyone would define that differently, by the way. Neil Sedaka is no, you know, Michael Jackson or anything. I mean, he wasn't that popular. But he struggled to get to where he was. But then when he reached it, he said, I wish I could go back and struggle. I had something to look forward to. There's a lot of very wealthy people that struggle with drugs, alcohol, suicide. Why? Because they didn't find it. They bought the lie. It's going to be a lot better if you're richer. It's going to be better if people know you. It's going to be better if you're America's idol. It's going to be better if that's you. That's a lie. See, peace does not come from that stuff. And that's what you want. You want to be able to reconcile your life with God. Really, what Jesus said, he left us a priceless legacy. It was his last and best gift. It says this in John 14, peace I leave with you. And then, I love as the Bible, what does, he'll say a statement, and you and I are so used to reading the Bible, we don't understand the emphasis on. But he then pauses and he repeats what he means. Peace, I leave with you. Now, see, that's supposed to be a big deal, that peace stuff. That's supposed to be. This is huge. But I imagine he said, peace, I leave with you. And someone went, oh, yeah, what was that? All right. And can you imagine, I don't know how many times God just goes, man, you don't get this. You do not get the significance of what I just said. He says, peace I leave with you. God responds to him and he goes, no, my peace I give to you. My peace. Not as the world gives do I give you. See, I'm not giving you peace like the world offers. But what's really cool is that anybody in this room can achieve God's peace. It has nothing to do with your status, your gender, your nationality. It has nothing to do with your schooling. It has nothing to do with any of that. Anybody can have God's peace. And that's what he gives those that love him and seek him. Remember we talked about Hebrews 11:6, we're getting that again, but this is the gift that God leaves us. Here's what peace is not. It isn't the absence of pain. A lot of times, if you define peace as not having pain, you're not defining it correct. There are people today that are in pain that are in peace. So if you're going to pursue a life that's pain-free and hope you find peace, not going to happen. That means pain-free as far as relationships. That means pain-free as far as bones. That means pain-free as far as, you know, poor or rich. If you think that any of those circumstances will make you happy at peace, you are now vulnerable for Satan to attack you and steal your peace from you. Because you will work toward your life towards it. Can you imagine the tragedy of an athlete working all of their career so that they're a champion, getting there and realizing this stinks. They spent all their life trying to get there. See, there are people who call themselves Christians, spend all their life trying to do something, they get the end goal. I was wrong, that stinks. You know, you're young enough, you don't have to have that happen to you. It's not the absence of pain. You can be in pain, and when you define joy or peace or anything by the absence of pain, you are going to be in trouble. It's not ignorance. Peace isn't just because you don't know what's going on. Yeah, you know, I have no idea in certain cases what's going on in somebody's life. I didn't experience it, that kind of thing, so I'm ignorant on it. That's not peace, that's just ignorance. There's a difference between ignorance and peace. You know, if you don't know something, certainly it's not bothering you, you don't know anything about it. That's not peace necessarily. Pretenders can't have peace or surface calm. In other words, just the surface calm doesn't mean there's peace. Sometimes what we want to do is walk into a room and have the surface calm. But you've all heard the expression, there's an elephant in the room. Yeah. There's something there that nobody wants to talk about, but it's yours, peaceful. No. That doesn't bring you peace. Destruction of the opposition will never bring you peace. Remember, Stephen comes and he calls people stiff-necked, and they kill them. I guess we'll take care of him. We want peace. He's disturbing the peace. So we'll just kill him. Wars are fought over this. Believe it or not, wars are fought for peace. Doesn't make any sense, but that's what we do. We need to destroy them so that we can live in peace. Destroying them will not make us live in peace. Oh yeah, it'll stop us from getting bombed or whatever else, but it's not going to stop us. It causes us to live in peace. Stoically indifferent or apathy. In other words, just, I don't care attitude. That's not peace. That's something we kick into a lot and say, well, I can't have real peace, so what I'm going to do is just be indifferent. I'm not going to care. You know what? You got to care. God made you to care. Hey, don't build the walls up and begin to not care. You've got to. Levity. Some people think that I'll just make a joke out of everything, and that'll be peace. You know, you're in something very serious. You know those people? Bam, they turn on the one-liner right away. You know, that's not peace. You have to understand that. Peace is harmony. If I could give it a word that you would understand, I would say harmony. Absolute true harmony. Now, I'm not a musician, but I can tell when they're not in harmony. You know, it kind of hurts your brain. Harmony, it can be different notes sung in a way where they all go together and sound like one, but they're different. If you have a trained ear, I guess you can pick out each one, but if it's done really well, it sounds like one sound coming out in this beautiful something. God calls us a body. There's a harmony there. Your body's in harmony. Your elbow, your knee, your toes are all in harmony with, you know, your liver, I guess. They're all working together. See, there's a harmony there that when you break the harmony, you have problems. When you break the harmony with God, you have problems. When you break the way you were meant to be, when you break that harmony, you have problems. See, you were meant to love God. You were meant to serve others. You were meant to die to yourself. You want to break that? You will never find peace because you're breaking the harmony. You weren't meant to be identical. That's why the word harmony is used. You know, I don't know how many parts there are. Lots of parts. But there are, in music, there's parts. See, it's okay. I mean, look at an orchestra, which I don't know much about. But I do know this, there's a ton of instruments out there. And they're all playing like one, not one tune, but one piece. So the piece is what they're playing, but they're all playing like different parts of the piece. But it sounds good. That's harmony. No, that's not even harmony. It's harmony. They're working together. I don't even know what I'm talking about on that music stuff, but it works together to be a one thing. That's what it is. See, the body of Christ, I first need to be in harmony with God. Then I can be in harmony with you. But if one of us is not in harmony with God, there is no possibility of harmony. Because that's where we go first. Important. And Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God. How do you get the peace of God? Well, don't be anxious. You know what the word anxious really is there? Don't be distracted. I'm getting a DVD from somebody who did one. It's pretty impressive. I saw parts of it, and he's going to get it for me. It's just talking about a science study on the media in our culture. I'm sure none of you will want to see this. Because if I'm Satan, you need someone, Todd?
Yeah.
Who?
Whoever's running child care, they asked that they have the singing at 9:45 before they start the message.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry about that.
That's right. Distraction. See, what if I'm Satan, here's what I want to do. I know that I probably cannot get you to be an absolute fool on your own. I can't come to, you know, Austin Betts and say, Austin, I would like you to murder Caleb right now. Come up there and just murder him. No, I think Austin would say, I don't think so. You know, I'm not going to do that. But what I can do is I can take Austin and distract him. He'll let me do that. Distract him from what? Do you know what? I guarantee you right now, this is how Satan works. There are distractions in your life. Distractions from the things that are most important. Satan will not let you deal with the most important. He will distract you. Where your brain goes. You might be so full of yourself and thinking of yourself all the time. And maybe you're showing the media. Maybe you're into chillaxin or whatever that word is. Whatever. But there's distractions. So that's how he works. What harmony is and what peace is the absence of distractions. All right, let me get to it in human terms. Linda and I, married 25 years, we're married, right? We've married 34 years, but 25, tell Linda, hey, we should go to, we should really, you know, we're Swedes, we should celebrate big. Let's go, you know, get a bowl of soup somewhere or something. And I said, we could even do that. We could go to, like, Hawaii. We could do something. And you know what? Her response was good to me right away. It said, no, Hawaii's a place, you know, we're married 25 years. We're celebrating our marriage. Bunch of ladies running around there with hardly any clothes on over there. I don't want to be there with you during our 25-year anniversary. Got it. Why? Distraction. Now, I understand that. That's a distraction. Is it an overt evil? Well, it could be. But the worst it could be is a distraction. You know how many, if I'm Satan, I'm working on, oh, let's get together. We're friends. Let's get together. And you know what we'll do all together? Let's just watch a movie, do something else. Why? Because that's a distraction. You'll never get to know each other. You say, is that overtly evil? No, it's not overtly evil. We had some old people friends over. Actually, Randy and Lisa came over yesterday. We were talking to them. And don't tell them I call them old people friends. But they're not your age bracket, in other words. Do you know what? We did not turn on a television or watch anything. We actually sat there and talked. We looked at each other. And we talked. I thought, you know what? We get more done in a couple hours when Randy and I are together. We get more done. Why? We're not doing anything else. We're just talking. We're looking at each other talking. Well, no distractions. See, when you don't have any distractions, you get a lot more done. You get a lot more relationship done. You get a lot more. Why? Some of you ladies know this. If you love to have people, you know, sit and pay attention to you while you're talking. Is it good if you're talking and I got my phone? No. This is a distraction. Regardless. Now, see, Satan works that way. He works at distracting you. Why? Because distractions to you are acceptable. Outright sin may not be, but distractions are. So what he does is he gets in somehow and gets an acceptable way to distract you from what's best. And then you say, I don't know how many guys I talk to say, yeah, you know what, I'd love to spend more time with God, but I'm so busy. To distraction, distraction, distraction. You see, it says, don't be distracted about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, by everything you come to God and talk to him. I got to get through, so I'm going to do this. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make your whole spirit and soul and body kept blameless. Abstain from every form of evil. Now the God of peace. Now, you don't want to, what we want is peace and not abstaining from evil. Doesn't work that way. The path to peace is somewhat simple, really. If you remember, I told you the last time we talked, we were talking about Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. It's the idea of drawing near to God, of being at peace with God, and loving God. Okay, that has benefits. Knowing the latest movie that's out has no benefit, by the way, to you eternally or even relationally or anything. No benefit. Knowing God has benefit. Right? Knowing, understanding God has benefit. Knowing people, loving people, spending time with them, benefit. peace with God, reconciliation. Here's the path. Some of you, if you're not at peace in your heart, there's things you need to work on. The first is you need to be at peace with God. That comes through understanding your sinful separation and allowing Christ to be your Savior. And it honestly is, there's many people. Remember, in Matthew it says, many will come to me some saying, Lord, Lord. They'll use all the right words. They'll call him Lord. They'll say, I did all this work for you at Silverberg's Ranch or whatever. And God's going to look at him and say, get away. I don't know you. You see, either you are part of God's family or you are not. But if you are not really a part of God's family, there will never be peace in your heart. Oh, you can find temporary relief. Go get drunk or take drugs or do something else. You find temporary relief, but you're not going to find peace. And if you find the temporary relief, you're going to have to keep doing it. Then you become an addict. And you really, what you're addicted to is finding peace apart from God or trying to, and it won't ever work. So guess what? That addiction will never end. The way it ends is finding peace with God. Then you have to come to peace with self. Coming to peace with the little kingdom within. In other words, you may have something about you you don't like. You know, I'm not as athletic as I'm not as skinny as I'm not as chubby as I want to be. I'm not as... Did anyone ever say that? I'm not as chubby as I want to be. I'm not as, you know, I'm not as whatever. You fill in the blank. See, if you don't have peace with God, there's no peace. But if you do have peace with God, but you don't have peace with what God did with you in life, then you're never going to find peace. Because what you're saying to God all along is, you made this huge mistake. He didn't make a mistake in making you. Don't get it messed up with your personal responsibility. You know, if you say, well, I hate the scars on my face, God, that you gave me, but it's because you've been beating your head on a rock for 20 years. You know, that's not God. You have to have peace with yourself. Then you need to have peace with others. A peace in reference to outward circumstances. Others, you know, are you willing to be poor or rich? That doesn't matter. I mean, peace with circumstances. See, all of these, there's a way that you can be have these as distractions, or you can have these. Those people that are religious got to stand up, sit down, do all this kind of stuff. What happens is their religion becomes a distraction. It doesn't become a relationship. There can be people so obsessed with the idea of being married, in other words. They could be so into the arrangement of marriage, and they do all these things, but they miss the relationship with their spouse. Doesn't work. Peace, its source really comes from God. Its character is interesting. It's man unaided cannot attain it. I can't get it without God. It comes from God. I can't get it without Him. Its effect shall be guarded. Look at this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Don't be distracted about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart. What is it sometimes that guards your heart? Only the peace of God that passes understanding. In other words, something's going on in this world, and somehow you're going through it just fine. It's a tough time, but you're... Why? It passes understanding, but it's the peace of God is guarding you. I don't know how many times I've had to call on that in my life, but I have a lot. Where the peace of God is all you've got. Because the circumstances in life are crummy. Things are falling apart. It is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that begins to guard your heart. If you do not have that, do you think Satan understands how powerful this is? Of course he does. So what's he going to do? He's not going to give it to you. You're going to have to get this on your own. There's no way. He's going to fight this. My dad used to call it the faith rest life. You have real faith. It gives you real rest, no matter what the circumstances. See, that's faith rest, peace, reconciliation with the way things should be, shalom. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. This is a verse that I said to myself every day for about 2 years. Why? Because it's real simple. There were days, believe it or not, there are days you get anxious. And I realized something. God keeps me in that peace, in undistracted state, if my mind stays on him. If I'm Satan, what am I going to do? I'm going to get you to get your mind to stay on something else. I'm going to get you to be listening to all this kind of music or looking at media or thinking about some guy or girl that doesn't want you or does want you, you know, whatever. I'm going to try and get your mind somewhere else. Why? Because if I get your mind somewhere else, you can't have peace. In fact, when I don't have peace in my life, I know I go to this person and I say, it's because my mind is not where it belongs. That's why. Wow. So I'm personally responsible for that. Yes, I am. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and run away from evil. Trust, you know, gives you peace. Your own understanding doesn't give you peace. If you have been depending on your own understanding, and there's a funny time, I sat before God and I was just praying. I said, God, I understand this. But the thing is, I don't have anything else but my understanding. That's all I've got. Is that inadequate, really? And I was like, yeah. Okay, then. What do I do then? Trust me. See, I'm beyond your understanding. And I am God. I close with this. Finally, brothers, Philippians 4, 8. Remember, we started Philippians 4, 6. So you want to take it in context and look at that passage. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, I would guarantee you that the pain that many of you feel with trying to figure out peace and trying to figure the significance of life and that kind of stuff is because you have been immersed in things that are not true, that are not honorable, are not just. You have allowed this stuff to permeate your brain. The effects of that are going to be a lack of peace with God. You say, well, should I be legalistic or not? That's a nice excuse. The truth of the matter is, the hours of influence in your life will determine the actions of your life. Not the actions of your life determining the hours of influence. It's the other way around. Whatever you put into your head most, you say, well, I only watch this much TV. Good. Whatever. The thing is, I'm not saying just TV or radio. See, all day you think of something. All day. All day. And if you keep reminding yourself of lies all day, you keep thinking stuff all day, you're going to be miserable. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice things, and the God of peace will be with you. There's two things here. There's a personal responsibility and a corporal responsibility. For example, the personal responsibility, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is the corporal, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. See, what has to happen is you need to see people my age, others, that actually are struggling and doing this thing right. You need to watch them. You need to see it. You need to know the Bible and know that they're doing that right. You want to know that it works. You want to see it. I have that responsibility. I need to live in a way where I can show you how to do it. You need to live in a way that will show a junior higher how to do it. See, that's the corporal responsibility. That was what we need to do. You need to adjust your life so that others know how to do this. And as I do that, then you need to practice what you've learned from watching those people. See, it's not all, I'm not responsible. No, you're trying to find peace by the absence of, you know, by ignorance or by ignoring, whatever it is. The truth of the matter is, you need to be very careful what permeates your brain, what you let in that brain. There, you don't have a delete button. You need to be very careful what you allow into it. You need to make sure that each of you has somebody older in your life that you will sit and talk with and observe their lives. People who actually do love God. And then you need to be somebody who looks for somebody younger that you can do that with too. Because that's our corporal responsibility piece. And then when you're in that relationship, you need to act as if it actually matters, that relationship. Don't just run around like 2 Timothy 4, where you just go find teachers, it'll itch your ears, it'll tell you what you want. Don't do that. Be in a relationship with someone that actually tells you things you don't want to hear. You'll find if they truly love God, it has nothing to do with whether they love, whether, you know, they're not thinking poorly of you or anything else. That, you know, I have a responsibility. If you come to me and you're telling me something and you need help with something, I'm probably going to tell you you need help with something. Why? Because I'm in that age bracket. And that's my responsibility to do. And see, if we do things the way we're meant to do, I can have peace, you can have peace. We can all have peace. We can not be distracted. Satan is a distractor. Don't let him get you. But you have responsibility. You're not helpless in this. Father, again, thank you for the time we could spend together. We pray that your word will continue to convict us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Any other announcements? Okay, childcare people, remember, they want you over there. He said a quarter to two, I think.